Thank you. All right, so here we are. This is your budget. Okay. This was made with you in mind, Council. Here we are on April 30th. We're presenting you the budget today. You'll have a public hearing and first reading on May 14th, your next council meeting. Any feedback you have from us today, we'll incorporate, and we do have one edit, and I'll point that out as we go. We advertised the public hearing in Saturday's paper, and so when you have your council meeting on the 14th, we'll just have a public hearing as a part of that for the budget, and then second reading scheduled on June the 11th. So anything you see, today I sent you a copy of this presentation. I sent you a summary of each of the funds. It's very concise. And then I sent you the line item budget. So if there's anything, you go through it in the upcoming days and weeks, or you go through all of it tonight, if you have any questions, let me know. If you have any concerns, let me know.
That must be your speaking time.
So we, like I said, we made this budget based off of the feedback we got from you at your January planning meeting, and did our level best to incorporate everything in here that you asked for, and where the things we did not put in here are not here, I highlighted it so you know that it's not. So if you see something that I missed, please let me know. So when you add all funds combined, you're looking at a little over a $41 million budget. 28.5 of that is in capital projects. So what's also included in there is the $8.7 million for the waterline projects that we're working on, because we haven't completed all that this fiscal year. Not all of that will actually carry over when we get to the next one, but until we know what that amount is, I put it in here. One of the reasons that I do that, if you think back to when we had the audit, and the audit showed that we had about $2 million more in expenditures than what was budgeted in the water department. That's because we didn't budget everything from one fiscal year to the next. We had it budgeted in the previous year. So we don't have that happen again. You're going to see a few things that'll repeat until we get them done. And that's just so that we don't have that kind of... It is a discrepancy. It seems highlighted when you see it in the audit, but it's all things that we had income for, either that was in the bank or that showed up during the year. This is perhaps me being a little bit sensitive to how that shows up in the audit, why you see that repeat multiple times. So this is your grand summary. It's a growth-oriented budget. It maintains operational expenses, still preparing for more growth. We're in a growth mode, and we've already talked about a bit of that in some of the previous workshops. There is no reduction in services. There are slight operational increases. The department heads asked, at my direction, asked for what they needed, and I cut a lot of that back. So they have some operational increases in their budget, but not all that they asked for. That was so that we could give you a balanced budget. And that's part of the process as well. And those operational increases just come from inflation. What it used to cost Michael to buy coffee and paper towels and toilet paper costs more now. You all know that from going to the store yourself. We had talked about having another millage reduction. Ultimately, I didn't put one in here because I wasn't comfortable with the revenue estimates and our expenditure needs. So, certainly wouldn't ask for an increase, but we did not work one into this budget. There are utility rate increases, which we'll get to on the next additional slides. There's garbage collection rate increases, tap fee increases, and then what I call just various fee increases. We've got a number of things that are in our clerk's record, which is where we store all the fees that we charge, that haven't been changed in a long time. Some of them are rarely used, but I went ahead and increased those, and we'll talk about them briefly in a minute, so that they reflect what our actual costs are. On the personnel side, there is a 3% cost of living adjustment for all city employees, and health insurance increase through PIVA that's managed and dictated to us by the state of South Carolina, the General Assembly, and they have given us an 11.8% increase effective January 1st that we should be preparing for. It isn't officially effective. Rebecca shook up her Coke over there.
It isn't officially
effective until they pass the state budget, but we expect that of the things that could get cut, that's probably not one. Capital investment, we have some PAYGO. We utilize on lease, capital lease purchase again. I incorporated the utility bond, and I'll highlight the things that we would plan to spend that $5 million on. And as you know, we're taking advantage of every grant that we can take advantage of. So the paragraph I wrote at the top, I highlighted the point that I wanted you to, in the midst of growth. And so I think most of you know that when you're growing, there are growing pains. When a business expands, oftentimes there's some cash flow strains. We're seeing some of that this year in terms of our flexibility to kind of stretch from one part of the budget to the next. From year to year, we're fine. But within the fiscal year, the cash flow is a little bit tighter. I sat down one afternoon to think back through all that we had been through in our planning process, and I came up just with my characterization of how I see the different activities that you see there. We're having growing pains in public safety, and that means police and fire. We're having growing pains in recreation. Probably those two are equal in the amount of pain that we feel on the city side in terms of demands to do more while we are still operating with the same amount of money. I'll tell you, Fred's not here yet, but when it comes to Michael and Herb and Kevin Harbin, you don't get three, I don't want to call them cheapskates. You don't get three guys who can make a nickel go farther than those three guys. They are very budget and cost conscious, and I appreciate that about them very much. When you look at hospitality tax, we're in a cost-cutting mode. We've already talked about that a couple of times, and we may be for another year. We see Sphinxes going up. We got calls or emails today about the restaurant that wants to go on the old Sphinx site. That's McDonald's, so if that comes in, a lot of expectation that those hospitality taxes will start to have meaningful increases year to year. When it comes to the water distribution system, I say that we're stabilizing to stable. The USDA money that we put in, think back about a year and a half ago when we used our ARPA money to go in and fix the ever-breaking water lines on Hall Road. We cut a lot of overtime out. We cut a lot of inconvenience to our customers out. And those lines should be good now for a generation. So when I say stabilizing to stable, we're close to being stable. I think we've stabilized our needs at the water treatment plant. And I thank Oconee County for that because they gave us $1.3 million of their ARPA money. And I give Diana Dieska all the credit for putting that in the strategic locations we needed at the plant and the raw water intake. She's another one. She's very, very conscientious about every dollar she spends and really goes out of her way to make sure she's run down every vendor to see if there's somebody who could save her a dollar on the project she's working at. I believe that we've stabilized the electric system. We have some capital that we need to keep maintained, but when you start to look at our right-of-way and the outages, we are in a much better position than we were 4 years ago or 5 years ago. I still give Lee Baker, the lion's share, that credit for coming in and knowing how to really tighten the boots up or tighten the straps on your shoes, boots. I don't know. There's some metaphor in there to kind of describe what Lee did. And Kevin Harbin and Taylor have continued down that path on the electric system. And then when it comes to the sewer collection system, I think we're in the assessing to stabilizing position. So even once we hit stable, that doesn't mean that the work is done. It just means we know more of what we need to know. Oak Street project is one of those. A year ago, we were not aware of how vast that need was. Now we are. That knowledge, in my opinion, makes us more stable because now we know what the need is and we've got a plan for correcting it. Any questions there, comments? And y'all might not have needed all my pontifications, but it sure does feel good to put these in a spreadsheet or a slide for you. I gave this, you've seen this CPI information that we get from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I put this in there for your reference. I know a lot of you, or all of you, talk to people in the community. Why are you increasing things? Sometimes it helps to have actual statistics, the actual numbers in hand. So this is here for your reference. So here's what you're going to find in your budget. We have planned for water rate increases, 4% inside the city, 5% outside. The reason that I have that difference there is the bulk of our investment right now is going outside the city. The electric rates, 4%. The sewer rates, 1% for both inside and outside. Garbage collection fees, 3.5% inside, 4.5% outside. And then you can see the various tap fees. Each of those are increased by 10%. Except for the differential on water tap outside the city versus the three-quarter versus the one-inch. I think we made a mistake when we did that last year. We intended for there to be a bigger difference, not for them to be the same. So I increased that one, I think, 20% to make up for what we made a mistake on last year.
Is that going to cover our cost?
It does. Think back to what you just approved with Sphinx. You know, their tap fee for that sewer ended up being $35,000. And on a bigger one, we have its cost plus 30%. Had we not refunded that, we would have recouped what it cost us to put that tap in. Plus made a little bit on the actual fee. And that the reason that one was so expensive, just to remind you, is it's 15 feet deep in the middle of Highway 123. A lot of times we aren't dealing with them that are in that, deep in that type of location.
The 5% outside city water rate increase, is that enough to cover the payment on the $8 million water project we're doing?
Not all by itself. I'll point to my last point down at the bottom. There is some small growth that I've programmed in. We've already seen a number of new taps from the new water lines we've put in. Expect some more of those to continue. Of course, we have Cooper's Mill, and we have Heirloom Farms, that the other neighborhood that I have all the development agreements ready. We're ready to bring to you to start bidding out those water and sewer lines that the developer will pay. I count that in as growth too. So that 5% on its own does not. When I did my calculations based off of a growth rate, I can tell you how much I figured in. Mayor, let me get my piece of paper. I think I figured on a 5% growth with a 5% increase. Yes, so for outside the city limits, and keep in mind, Mayor, I like to be conservative. I'm looking at between your rate increase and your growth rate, that being 10% together.
On the electric, is that 4% going to cover our increase to PMPA?
Yes, and I have a slide on that. Okay. Get a little bit further down. And that's something that we will bear a little bit more discussion to. So to give you kind of what does that mean for our customers, as you kind of orient yourself to what you're seeing, look at the column to the far right where it says difference. What does an average month look like? So by far, electric goes up the most, $7 a month. But if you look at, if you're an inside water customer, based off of our calculations of 5,000 gallons a month, your bill would go up $1.21. If you're inside the city, your sewer rate, your sewer is going to go up 67 cents. We did everything we could to keep these in what I call very manageable territory. It doesn't mean anybody, you won't have some folks upset about it. But again, when I go back to, we have a lot of the operational money that we need, but not all that was asked for. It was so that we could keep this manageable. Again, I'm comfortable doing that because we have money conscious, good money managers as department heads. Any questions on that one? I'll show you how. So that red box that you see there is the same information that you just had on the previous slide. I'm showing where we compare with Seneca, Wahala, Tessie, Pioneer, and Blue Ridge with last year's numbers. I already know from reading the newspaper that Seneca increased their tap fees. I believe that Wahala is going to increase a number of their fees. Blue Ridge's fees, we believe, are going up. Everybody's in the same stage we are, so we don't have what their most current numbers may be. But as of the passage of the last budget, those numbers are still pretty reflective. And you've seen this slide before. These are the last times that we modified each of the rates and why. And we will track each of those if you're approve this budget. The additional fee increases, that whole first top group up there from sign permit all the way down to planning commission hearing, the first two, the two permits for signs and banners, that hasn't been increased. We don't even know when the last time. And then for the plan unit development application, the Board of Appeals hearing, and the Planning Commission hearing, we were basically charging what it cost for us to advertise in the newspaper. When we advertised the public hearing for your budget, it was about $192. So that's pretty close to what those fees will be. So I moved that up to account for, you know, about a half hour Reagan's time to get that ready, and then just what it costs. We're not making any money on it, we're passing it through. The roll carts have gone up a little bit, not as much as I've programmed in here. Some of this is trying to incentivize people to take better care of their carts. Every now and again, that's a thing. We've tried to, again, keep it manageable. I rounded the numbers off this time. Keeping track of those pennies can be hard for people to do, so if you want me to go back to the penny number, we don't really need $25. We need $24 and, I don't know, 38 cents. I mean, we can do that if you'd like. I round it. Going to the bottom left-hand corner, backflow test. Remember when we had you, when we asked you to adopt these fees, it has to be done, but we would rather the folks who need those backflows contract with somebody themselves rather than use us. So we want to stay a little bit higher than market rate because we want them to go get somebody else to do it. It's their responsibility. We certainly can. We've got qualified staff. We've got the equipment. But ultimately, we don't want to do those. The bulk water flat fee, each of those were increased by 10%. And usually, what, that's the asphalt company.
Yeah,
it's kind of a hit and miss group of folks.
High seeding.
Usually it's for business purpose that they're getting that. I didn't do any hard and fast calculation to determine if 5,000 gallons is actually paid for with 22 a gallon or 22,000. But it's one of those things that's used hit and miss. We did move it. We used to ask anybody who wanted bulk water to go to the water plant to get it. It was affecting water quality because of the amount of water they would take. So now they have to go down to Bibb Street to get the water. I don't think anybody's complaining about that. Any questions on that slide?
Remind me why people go get bulk water.
If they're doing a big project. So if they're hydro seeding, a new construction project, they need water. The asphalt companies, when they're out paving, they need water.
Okay.
So they'll come in.
Understood.
Thank you. They have to meet requirements.
Yeah. Okay.
To not contaminate our water.
Gotcha.
So here's where we start to get into what's in the budget. So I'm highlighting the things that pop out in my mind. A lot of the reason we give you the line item budget is because there may be something that captures your attention that doesn't capture mine. So I want you to be able to see the line item. I categorized everything. So we'll start with public safety on the top left. The big things that are there is a new vehicle for the fire marshal and two police vehicles. We had talked in previous budget workshops about doing a fire vehicle and one police vehicle. Well, we had two Chargers crap out on us, for lack of a better phrase. And we're fully staffed with Fred coming on board, and we don't have enough vehicles. We actually will have an officer in the old utility truck because we don't have enough police vehicles for everybody to get into. If you're good with the budget, when you have your May 14th meeting, I'll also ask you to go ahead and do first reading of the lease purchase ordinance that allows us to accelerate the time to be able to bring those vehicles in. Usually we don't do that till October timeframe, but given what's going on with police, I'm going to move it up a little bit if you're agreeable to do so. Had a little bit of miscommunication, and it was all on my side. We plugged in all the budget numbers you see, that fire marshal vehicle at 48. It should have been at 57. No vehicles are cheap these days. And that is for Tahoe. That's more or less the same type of vehicle that Michael has now. It's a four-wheel drive vehicle, and it's got, what kind of package is it, he said?
Special service package.
That, because they aren't always on the road. So if they've got to go off-road for some reason. That's not the same vehicle type of Tahoe that the police have. They have a little bit different package there. So those are kind of the big things in public safety. Down in utilities, a number of years back, and this was when Lee was still here and before some of you came on council, we had lease purchases approved to buy a new bucket truck and a new line truck. Well, we've been waiting 36, 48 months on some of those, and we have no delivery in sight. So we have canceled those orders. By only ordering one, we end up perpetually at the bottom of the list. So we have talked about this as staff. We plugged money in to be able to go buy a used one. And so that's got to be with cash, because the lease purchase isn't covered, will not cover a used vehicle if it's more than a year old and has more miles than the bank thinks it should have. So we put cash in the budget to be able to buy a used bucket truck. And we stuck with the bucket because you have a line truck and a bucket truck. Bucket truck just has got the bucket that goes up and down. We hang banners and you can get on a roof and all that fun stuff with. The line truck has all the heavy stuff on it that Taylor and Trey need to go out and do work on the electric system. But given where we are with the possible operation maintenance agreement, we may not need a heavy line truck. We will still need a bucket truck if you want us to be able to hang stuff up on poles and not have to contract extra with somebody to come in and do it. There's no special certifications you have to have. They've just got to follow safety protocols. So that is something I think that we're going to have a continuing need for. I pulled the line truck out. Plus, we would need about $100,000 for a used line truck. Given the fact that our line truck is, what, 1989? It's pretty old. Yeah, it's pretty old, and some things on it we've repaired so much, it just can't be repaired anymore.
You said there's no certification needed to drive a bucket truck?
Or to work in the bucket truck, yeah. Or to drive it or to work it.
You gotta have a CDL to drive it, but you don't have to have anything else to get in the bucket, do you?
They don't have to have a CDL. Mm-hmm.
So I can drive a bucket truck? Oh, okay.
It's just a pickup truck that's got an extended bucket.
Oh, it's the small one?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It's not the big, the hump, what I call the big humdinger. It's not that.
Okay.
The humdinger's got all this stuff on it, much bigger.
Yeah.
You can dig holes with it. What else?
I think Davey and I should take the bucket truck.
That's
how we'll save some money.
As long as it doesn't have air brakes, it's non-CDL required.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering where you found one for $80,000.
Yeah, it's just
red.
It's a regular.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it might be, what, $2,500?
Yeah, $35,000 probably. So, anyway, yeah.
A mini bucket truck.
Similar to probably about like the old one we have.
I'm sorry I use such technical phrases with you guys.
Yeah.
We do have in there a new pickup truck for the water division and the valve maintenance skid. If you want to know more about that, Kevin Harbin is here to tell you more about that. The SCADA system, while I can't recall what that acronym is for, it is the software that helps us manage the water system. So at the water plant, we can go and we can look on a screen and Diana can see what the levels of all the elevated tanks are, and that's how she knows where to direct the water to go. It's also got some stuff in there on pumps. That's a fraction of what we need to upgrade the SCADA system, because like we did with our website where we got every minute of use that the software can be supported, we're past our software being supportable. This covers the most immediate concern, and I'll show you what we aren't covering that we've got to come up with a plan for. The $70,000 to replace 500 water meters. Water meters are only good for a short period of time. You guys know that we have customers that complain from time to time because the meters aren't working right. Sometimes that's a legitimate thing. Sometimes they just wish they hadn't worked right. I give Kevin a lot of credit for the best way to do this is to go out and start replacing the worst ones. And we put 500 of them in here so that we could get that effort underway. My fear is if we put too many more in there, we don't have the ability to actually get them in the ground inside of a year. The guys also need a side-by-side when they're out working in the field. We've got an old John Deere. We've got, I wouldn't even call that thing, it used to be a golf cart. They need something that is reliable and dependable when they need to get off the road in the right of way.
What's the side-by-side?
It's like a gator.
Oh.
My kind of
golf cart gator hybrid.
For the dump bed on it.
It's like a golf cart with a motor instead of just batteries.
Yeah, that's one I had up here when we were doing the cleanup every time in town.
Okay. Why is it called a side by side?
So you sit side by side. Four wheelers, you sit one behind each other. And the same company sells them to sell the four wheelers.
Four wheeler, you ride
behind each other, side by side. You sit side by side.
All your options right there. I understand now.
Okay, thank you.
I get it. Thank you.
The roof on the gym is leaking. If it rains tonight, it'll leak tonight. We need to get that fixed, and it's more expensive than we have the money to do right now. So we put it in here. Herb's got a couple places he knows he's got to put the buckets. That's the guy you got, Herb.
What are we getting for $42,000? Are they going to coat it or are they going to replace it?
They're not going to replace it. They're going to go up. It's around one of the vents needs to be, I'm going to use my terms. You certainly probably may think of it in different actual terms. They got to reseal around some of those vents on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the companies went up there and sent us a lot of pictures back. Where the screws are put in that metal, they have come back out, which I'm given to understand happens over time.
Right.
They need to be put back in with washers and everything to help seal that back down. That's what we get.
For 40, and that's
Well, that's, one of the estimates came in at over 65.
Oh.
So it's not cheap. We all wish it were.
We get local guys to bid that, or is it?
Yeah, all the quotes were from local folks.
Really?
You don't remember, I called you after I got that one.
I know, I didn't.
You told me to call somebody else, we did.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable.
I had sticker shock when I got that first.
You give it to me?
All right, here's what was requested but not funded. So these are things you will not see in your budget. We didn't add 6 more firefighters. We did not add software that would allow us to communicate more directly with the sheriff's office. So it's called Zucker, is the name of the software that would allow us to share a lot more and communicate more with the sheriff's office. I took that out because ultimately I think we can get a grant to cover that. Something I think is very important. We've not had it, so this isn't like we're losing anything, but I think we gain a lot by having it. We'll go after some grants. I feel pretty comfortable the Department of Public Safety would be able to fund that.
Who asked for 6 additional firefighters?
Have no clue. He ain't even paying attention.
Just for the record, that rate, that is part-time firefighters.
Yes.
It's what? Part-time.
Yeah, he was probably looking up the email he sent me that gave me all the options on how to get more firefighters, and I put the number in. Utilities, we talked about the SCADA system, the software that allows us to track all the water. All of that software has got to be replaced and some hardware components with it. Total is $180,000. There is 24 of that. I should have reduced this by 24,000. That was in the previous slide. We have 2 old dump trucks, circa 96 or 86 and 89. I think there's a Taylor Swift named after one of those albums. As for rating,
it doesn't look that good.
It doesn't look as. I took both those out. At some point, we've got to replace them. We need a heavy duty and a light duty for both of those. But this year, it isn't that year. And then we already talked about the line truck. I took the cash out that we would need to go buy a used line truck. Recreation, pool filled bathrooms. You know, Herb and I have talked about those bathrooms. They need to be rehabbed. They're old. They're kind of dingy. He does a good job of keeping them as clean as he can keep them. One of Herb's concerns about the bathrooms as they exist right now is essentially you go in, you close the door, and you sit down. That's all you can do. Yeah. You turn around, you're right there. He has a lot of kids that come in after school and from other things that need to change their clothes into their athletic equipment. And they're essentially standing on top of the toilet to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
They need to be bigger. So they probably need to be wholesale replaced. Upfit the metal building for recreational training. So the old fire building that's behind City Hall, the big doors. Herb and I have talked a number of things about putting in there. He would like to have batting cages as well as an area where the volleyball team can practice. It's really not wide enough to do a full court in there, as well as a couple basketball goals. So depending on what sport, there is another practice facility going on. It'll also help with skill development with some of the kids that aren't going to get it if they aren't getting it from rec. We need roofs on a number of things out at Hall Street. We need bathrooms at Mefla Fields. And Herb needs a pickup truck. God bless Herb. He and his Herb drives a pretty good vehicle, but the rest of the recreation equipment was what got handed down from everybody else, and then last stop is recreation. And some of that stuff is really old. They do what they need to, but at some point we've got to get them some newer equipment too. I just called this downtown. Think hospitality tax, if nothing else. There's not any money in here for Christmas decorations. There's not any money in here for special events. The downtown business development, we had talked about the company called Retail Strategies that goes out and they find the national retailers that will come in to kind of what they call right size for the size of the community. And then that's the one at the bottom, the new business recruitment. And then the $52,000, I had gotten a price from Libby Embody and Janet Hartman for them to come in and do what we call a downtown management, like a down Main Street downtown, promote events and everything else. That price is $52,000. None of those are in the budget. And just given the number of things we've got going on, as much as I'd like to see those last two things happen, I don't know that we have the bandwidth to do it anyway on staff, because I can't just turn it over wholesale to somebody else. If you add everything up on the page, you get down to the bottom. I really did this that number for Adam. I figured Adam would want to know, what's all that add up to? It adds up to about $1.3 million. And I only put things, and I give, again, the credit to the department heads. I didn't see anybody ask for something I would call frivolous.
Right.
I think we've got department heads that are very, you've already heard me say it, cost conscious, they're very practical. Any and all that stuff, if it were in our budget, we need right now. But these are things that I think take a back seat to what was on the previous slide.
Can I ask a question? Sorry.
Last slide? Yep.
Is there a reason that the 185 for six additional firefighters takes a back seat if we're in a season of growth, if we're in the midst of growth? Is there a reason that that takes a back seat?
It does for the upcoming fiscal year. You know, we just got the new contract with Oconee County. Michael is in the midst of understanding what that is doing to our call volume.
Okay.
He had to step out. I think he had to go cast a fishing line or something. We talked about he could go do that. Until we get a better understanding of what that impact is, my recommendation is let's hold off till we understand it better. We may very well need to go renegotiate that contract this time next year with Oconee County. We were negotiating that contract with them in the midst of them negotiating with Wahala and Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think we were fairly compensated for what the contract asked for, it doesn't account for any growth in there. And there was a lot of distractions going on to get that contract through.
Right.
I would like to see what the new contract does without speculation to call volume. Because we've got a lot of speculation right now. What does it actually do? We have increased Michael's overtime budget, his part-time budget. He's been fully staffed since you authorized the rate increases for the firefighters. He's a creative guy. He has to do a lot of stuff with scheduling to make all this work. But we have been giving him more and more resources every year that I've been here in those part-time and overtime line items. I feel comfortable with that, exploring what that world is going to look like for this fiscal year. Like for us to add more money in that. We could, but I don't have money just sitting somewhere to be able to move it in.
I didn't think it was a figure that you had sitting around where you could pull from. I just kind of wanted, I'm concerned about number of guys on a truck.
As am I. And if I were prioritizing everything that's on there, I would put that as my first priority. I mean, that's kind of why that ended up. I did this slide before I did any of the other slides previous to this. And I put that first, and I originally had them in a priority order, and that was first.
For sure.
And the thing about the firefighters, and it's not to diss what they do at all, but I've been to a half dozen fires here in town. I've been to a bunch of them out of town, and I've been to wrecks, pull up on them. You've got firefighters crawling over each other. All the county shows up with our guys. It's not like our guys are just alone. One guy fell and hurt his hip, and there was six vehicles there. two city and four county. I mean, they're here, they're right next door, so I think they're okay. Well, they could always use more, of course, but they do have a lot of backup. And that's the one good thing about Oklahoma County, if there's a fire in Madison, everybody that hears it shows up. I mean, they all back each other up all the time.
Highlighting what you're doing for employees, we already talked about the health insurance increase. That's the January to June amount.
So is the state going to help with that at all? None at all.
Nope. You know, for 24, we had like a 3%. Mm-hmm. And we had 22, we had 12%. So it kind of seems like they're on this. Mm-hmm. But they don't fund that with extra money. They fund it by giving the agencies more money to pay the increase, if that makes sense. They don't do anything to buy down the cost at PIBA. They just give their state agencies more money to pay PIBA more.
Yeah.
And since we're in PIBA, we end up on the side that pays them more. 3% COLA for all city employees. I started off wanting to have 5. There just wasn't the ability to get 5 in there. Retirement increase, again, this is dictated by the state for non-public safety and for public safety employees. So when you add all that together, there's an additional $200,000 that goes toward employees across the board. I don't want to brag about it, so this is not bragging, but we have done well with staffing. We've got our positions mostly filled, and they're staying mostly filled. We're getting some longevity and some employee slots that I wished we had had longevity in before. And a lot of that, I think, comes by having healthy COLAs each year, having a healthy work environment, and taking care of the employees, and this continues to do that. Transfers, where are we moving all this money from one place to the next? Sometimes I feel like I'm juggling when we're trying to put all this together. We did a 5% utility franchise fee, so that's that first line. And that's off of the gross revenue, so we don't count any capital equipment that we borrow money to buy. We don't count that in that calculation. We did another solid waste transfer to the general fund. I calculated that at 8.5%. We don't have a hard and fast policy on what we do with solid waste. I went to 8.5% primarily because we needed more money in rec. And it goes to the general fund, but then the general fund transfer that goes to youth rec, I just needed to account for that. We can dial that up or down. Ideally, it's not going above 8, but to get to kind of hit all the numbers that I was trying to hit when we were balancing this, that's where I ended up. HTAX transfer. And you'll see in a minute, we have $202,000 budgeted in HTAX, and $102,000 going to general fund and $100,000 going to youth rec. Really, it could be either way. I mean, if we did $102,000 to rec and $100,000 to general fund, I'd reduce the general fund transfer to youth rec by 2. I mean, it's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other. Youth rec doesn't support itself, so it needs more than what this transfer is. We'll talk about this in a little bit more in a minute. Our youth rec revenue is not as conservative as I would like for it to be. That doesn't mean you need to change the whole world just because I'm not comfortable. But we try to be conservative on our revenue estimates and a little liberal on our expenditure estimates so that we end the year in the black instead of in the red. And again, we've got good money managers and department head positions. We do that. But this year when it comes to youth rec, I wasn't able to be as conservative as I like to be. And that was just because we don't have as much money going into it as we've had in years past, either from the general fund or from hospitality. So those numbers aren't quite as conservative. I'll tell you, Kylie Carter challenged me on that when we put the budget together. And the reason I'm ultimately comfortable with that is because of her pool. I mean, this bottle of water, when you buy it, is about 89 cents when you buy it in bulk. And for football referees, in their contract, they get a free bottle of water. That tears her nerves up. 89 cents tears a man's nerves up because he says nobody else gets a free bottle of water in their contract. He'll sell them at half cost. He doesn't like it to get it free. I say all that to say Herb doesn't spend what he doesn't bring in. So even though I'm a little, it's not as robust as I'd like for it to be, as it has been this year and in the years past, we've got Herb. Debt service, you've seen this exact slide along with this one. Each time we've gone through this, those numbers haven't changed. If you approve what's in this next year, these numbers change because we start adding the new things that begin to hit in debt service. Going through general fund, when I did this last year, I think you guys have probably picked up on it. I feel confident the mayor has. I use the same format every year. You can kind of take everything and look. We had a whole lot more highlights last year, this year's budget, than we do in this one. I made the font bigger to try and fill up the space. You got transfer ins, pretty much are the highlights in general fund. Anything that's in general fund on the operating side is very routine. Oh, you will notice when you look at the general fund budget that city council subscriptions has been reduced from 2,000 to zero. I moved all your subscriptions into the utility fund. So don't think I tried to shortchange you. I just moved it from one place to the next.
Subscriptions.
What subscriptions?
We have subscriptions that we pay on behalf of you for MASC.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a couple other things. Some of those qualify for me to get reimbursed from PMPA, and we do. There's just it's not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $2,000 over the course of the year for all seven of you. But when you look at your budget, please don't think I was trying to shortchange you. Public safety, again, not as many highlights in the past, but keep in mind, last year, the last 2 years, you funded a lot of technology that is in place right now. The in-car computers, the flock camera system, some software that they routinely use. The shooting that we had, the last council meeting where Caitlin had to hightail it out of here, they used some of that software to recreate, to file the reports on that shooting. Caitlin put in the budget requesting for new uniforms. When Fred came to interview, first thing he asked was, can I get new uniforms? So we'll let that money in here. She asked for more than that, but that's what we could afford. So
does that include like their leather or whatever gear they're going to need to go with it? Complete change out?
Yeah, we can ask Caitlin. She gave you the number. Fire highlights. Highlight is we got, I think I bellyache every year about only getting 285 from Oconee County. We got that in the current year budget up to 550. That allowed us to go to 8 firefighters. We increased part-time funding by 10,000. I think we increased his overtime budget as well. When you look at your budgets, you can see, I just didn't highlight it because it wasn't a big increase. Vehicle for the fire marshal, which savings from the maintenance we have on that Tahoe that he's driving now,
right. They
can use for operational needs for other things. And again, I just dropped this in here. You will not see that 57 in your budget that you have now. You will by the time you get to first reading. We're going to use the capital lease for it, so it's not, you aren't doing a trade-off for it. We will up the lease amount. You'll pay for more of it in the years to come.
Kevin, do we still have volunteers?
We do. Michael told me this morning that he's actually had more volunteers want to volunteer now that he's fully staffed.
And actually show up.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. know what all the psychology is behind that, but I think he would still like more.
Of course.
Utility fund, this is just kind of the summary screen of all the funds together.
Okay, but on the electric, go ahead. If you're going through the electric, what's it get to it, man?
Yeah, so I gave you a quick rationale for electric, water, and sewer rate increases. So here's the rationale on electric. The first three are ongoing. They're, or at least the first two. Nearly flat revenue stream. We don't get a lot of new customers. Of course, the infill housing helps, but residential is not a moneymaker on electricity. Personnel and operational cost increases. Prepping for the O&M agreement, we want to make sure we have a healthy enough electric budget so that if we get everything tied down like we want to, in order to get it all tied down like we want to, we've got to have enough in this budget. The PMPA lawsuit, I highlighted it here. It has an impact on us. Raquel and Greer were alleging that they were misbilled by $150 million. We settled for $55 million. In order to settle, we paid them $10 million out of cash that PMPA had in an account. Each of them got five, and then we financed $45 million. That financing closed yesterday morning, and so these numbers are as of these are the actual numbers that we will be repaying. We will pay an additional $43,000 and change between May and December. For that whole time period, not per month, but for the rest of the year, we'll owe an additional $45 above our current bill. Starting in 2025, going through 2034, we'll have an additional $63,500 that'll be added to our bill annually. And they'll take and prorate that by the month on the bills. That all by itself, if our margin, meaning the amount of money we bring in versus what we need to operate, were a bit healthier, we wouldn't need an increase, but it's pretty slim to start with. It's the next factor that we need to have in mind is that there's a balloon payment. Take one step back. That $63,500 that we're going to pay annually is just principal and interest, or it's just interest. So when we get to the end, we got a balloon payment of $1.2 million that we've got to come up with in 2034. Well, if we don't start putting that money aside, whoever's here, if I'm here in 2033, I think I'm going to hot-tail it out, so I don't have to figure out how to come up with $1.2 million to send to PMPA. We need to start setting money aside so that we can make that payment if we have to. Was I being too honest, Ms. Ruth? there is a chance that we will have savings from the decommissioning cost where we don't have to come up with that 1.2. It's going to be later this year or next year before we know if that actually happens. So I'm just putting it in your mind. There is a contingency in the utility fund that's equal to about half of that 121. So I put about half of what we needed in next year's budget. I feel pretty comfortable, and Mayor, you're in those same board meetings I am, that's going to come through and we won't have to come up with that 1.2 in cash. But until we know that it's happening, I would rather begin making plans as if it's not.
Yeah, it's better to play it safe, but it does look promising.
Yeah, and if it does, you got cash in the bank. Might help.
And y'all keep in mind, everybody in the boardroom is in the same position we are, and they all agree that this is pretty much our best option. So we just kind of really no other way around.
Yeah, because the alternative is if we hadn't paid the $55 million, we'd still be going to court for the $150
million. Right.
Since if all that worked out, it'd be three times older. Rate increase rationale. We went went too long without making capital improvements. We started using the ARPA money, which was great. We used the ARPA money from Oconee County. We've got the 8.7 from USDA. But the needs for improving our infrastructure aren't going away even with this impulse. Did you actually put on the socks for Nancy?
I was trying to without anybody noticing. Thank you, Mr. Administrator.
I feel like you've called me out in the past. That's kind of.
I have. You are correct.
And the last thing I put on here, last year we relied pretty heavy on tap fees. It looks like we're very close to them materializing as we budgeted for them. But a lot of that came from Cooper's Mill. And once Heirloom Farm pays theirs, it's done. Huge amount of tap fees, I don't know that we can expect to come in like we did with those two neighborhoods. Again, this is the same slide I've given you a number of times, how we'll repay the USDA loan. Box number three, every one of those you will see in the budget, from the principal and interest payment to the debt service reserve fund to the short-lived asset reserve, I think is what they call it. We're doing there what we're obligated by USDA to do. Sewer rate increase. I kept it low. We probably could have used 4 or 5% increase, but given the other increases we had and where we are in terms of how expensive we are, I did the least. But the 1% keeps us moving. And again, the last bullet point is we relied pretty heavy on those tap fees from those neighborhoods for this year's budget. Franchise fee, just showing you what our history is. I really like the fact that in 2023 on, we're hitting that 5%, which is what our financial policies say, and that's keeping a lot more money in the utility fund than what we have been doing historically, which is what the utility fund needs. Solid waste, not a whole lot to see there, except on this slide, again, something that I'm proud of the work that we've done together. It went from needing an annual infusion of money from the general fund to now being able to pay a franchise fee to the general fund. And that's because we did the cost increases, the equipment purchases, and good money management. Fire department 1% fund, there's not a whole lot that we do there. That's for the firefighters. They get that through the insurance, and they get to decide insurance fees, and they get to decide what to do with it. Youth rec, this is where when you look at those revenue numbers, not as conservative as I'd like for them to be, and really the only highlight I have in there is we'll repair the roof on the gym. Mayor, we did include the new fees for officials. Of course, Herb says whenever we increase ours, the other places increase theirs, and we kind of fall back to the same position. I expect to see the other cities do the same thing. Demand has really gone up for officials this year.
Yeah, we had a delay in the game because we couldn't get umpires. Mm-hmm. These young kids that used to do it have no desire. Don't know why.
And these numbers all came from her. Local Development Corporation, we just continue marching down the path on that. We get the revenue that comes in that goes there comes from PMPA.
Kevin, back to recreation. Are we where he needs to be? I mean, I know he's not where he'd love to be, but I mean, are we with the what you talked about in the last meeting, it looked like we was going to have to cut him. I mean, is he in good shape? He's not going to have to cut anything this year?
So I did, when we put his budget together, we built in money so he would have more funds to either hire more part-time people or contract with a company to help do the turf management. We took that out. I wish we had, but in order to be able to balance it with the revenue that he's got and the money we can give him, the man, and I'll say this since Andrea left, I didn't realize I could out-talk her. I don't know if that's good for you guys, because now I'll try and do that from now on. We don't have the money to do, to operate what we agreed with Mammoth to construct in this budget. And we don't have to, because it's not going to all be here, ready to go in this fiscal year.
Right.
But if it were built in this fiscal year, we don't have the money to manage it.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got to get more money in there. And now, when you go back to all the analysis that the sports facilities company did, once it's built and it's running and we bring those tournaments should boost our hospitality tax. We've got a lot of development going on where we should be able to start realizing more property tax value. But that is kind of over a period of 2 to 3 years. But when it's built, we got to be able to operate it that day. We don't have 3 weeks to build up to that. I wish we were building up to that in this budget. It just, it's not there.
Well, you know, I heard them say one thing that they talked about, and I think you've talked about it too, that as we go into design, that will be part of it, figuring out how many people we can hire as part of the process.
And we have those numbers from the sports facilities company that we will feed that data to Mammoth as they design.
Right. But it's going to take other avenues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the county's still committed to the $50,000 this year?
I guess. I mean, we put it in here.
You haven't heard anything different from them?
Capital Projects Fund, this is where you see a lot of money moving around. This is the summary slide. You've seen this slide a couple of times. I'll note that the federal earmark that we have listed about mid-page that says water plant generator, we lost out on the final round, what I'm going to call final round, of budget negotiations, and that's not funded anymore. It's still a need. But it's a need that Reagan has already taken and reapplied for in the next federal budget. I think that's a piece of equipment that is right for some state or federal agency to fund for us. We need it. We've just got to keep after the money. So that's not there. But other than that, you've seen this slide a number of times. This is the slide, and I'm sorry it gets kind of small. This is where everything gets funded. So you take the money we have in the bank, that's where it says previous transfers. You start adding in the money that we've got coming in for each of the grants. And then you start matching it to expenses. If you go down and you see Heirloom Farms developer contract, that's where we contract to put the water and sewer line in, but the developer pays it. So it's an in and out type of, it's just the money's flowing through us. It's not an expense to us. But this is how everything vets out. And it doesn't vet out without the $5 million. So if we didn't have the $5 million, we would not have the match that we need today. It doesn't mean that we can't still build up to it or find it in another way. I don't want you to think that this is the only path there. We would not have what we need to match the CDBG streetscape, Unity Tank, and then we would not have the money to do the Lucky Street waterline, the Oak Street area, the manholes, that whole little list that you see over there to the side, the downtown utilities. We would not have the money to be able to do those things. The bond that is there, as I've talked to the financial advisor, the first time we talked about it was trying to close on the bond in September. So I think it would probably be better to try and close on that bond in October. You get a better, everybody keeps thinking interest rates are going to go down because our bond rate ties to everything you guys hear about interest rates. They don't go down, so at some point they got to go down. The longer we wait in the year, although I wouldn't want to wait past November, because once we get into December, then this is the same thing as waiting to February. When in the last 2 weeks since your last council meeting, we had to give an update to DHEC on what we're doing with our consent order. Troy included this information in there saying this is what the council's thinking about in terms of fixing the Oak Street area sewer lines, the manholes, making the skip match, and continuing to improve the manholes. So I don't want to push you into that. There are other ways to make all this stuff match, but as I put it together, none of you had said equivocally, don't put that in there, because I took that liberty to put it in there. But if you pass this budget, as I've got it right there, I'm going to take that to mean we're going to go and we're going to do this bond later this fall. I'll be honest and tell you that the two things, well, I guess there are three things that make me really want you to do the bond. One is Oak Street, two is the manholes, and three is that Lucky Street. Because even though Lucky Street all by itself isn't overly expensive, it doesn't really get us much. All it does is give us good water to Dot's Kitchen, the senior outreach, and the church. It isn't like we're going to go reach new people. But, and I forgot to bring that piece of pipe.
I was wondering if you did.
You brought, Kevin brought me a piece of galvanized pipe. It's about that big. And there's about this much space that hasn't been corroded in.
Wow.
So even when you had, what's that, a 2-inch pipe?
It was 2-inch. It's less than 3/4 now.
I'll bring it and show it to you. So even though you got a 2-inch line, you can't get 2 inches worth of water through it. Because it's corroded and it's crystallized. There's got to be some name for it. But you don't have 2 inches of capacity, and it's going through, and it's irregular shape. So it's,
that slows your flow and your volume down because it's
it makes the water dirty.
Smooth.
So if we didn't have those, if I could have convinced everybody Lucky Street was not our problem, which I tried, as Jimmy Powell, I kept saying, that's Dot's Kitchen's problem. Turns out it's our problem. And I told them it was their problem, I think, for a good year. And then Kevin came in and Troy came in. They're like, no, that's ours. If we didn't have those, the rest
you
of the stuff.
You told me it was their problem.
What's that?
You told me it was their problem.
Well, I believed it when I told you that. Because I really wanted it to be there. Because I knew we didn't have money sitting around to go in.
Sure.
It's easier to go out and get an $8.7 million loan to improve lines throughout our whole Western service area than it is, because you pick up new customers, you increase the flow in so many other places. Here, we're going to spend $275,000. We're not doing anything. We don't get more revenue. All we're doing is giving three places better water, which we should do. We owe them good water. And that's the one we know about. We have others. We don't know where they are, but.
Then you don't see us getting a grant that would help cover the cost of any of those.
RIA wouldn't cover that because you gotta positively affect residences. You'd have to have at least 10 residences.
Well, I know not that one, but I mean Oak Street Sewer.
Oak Street Sewer, and you know, the total cost for Oak Street Sewer is 4.7.
Yeah.
We're putting in 2 to hit the worst of the worst. Which, in talking with Troy, he's comfortable with that, but there's still a lot that isn't going to be done that we'll come back and do with future RIA grants and other things that we can find. But that one part of Oak Street, again, there's not enough residences on it to do Oak Street. Now, once we get over behind Yusuf's, I can get money for that. when we come back over toward the church or on the other side of Ingalls, we can't get money for that.
Yeah.
With all the decision points we got to make, that's it. Those are the toughest ones to find other paths forward on. The rest of that stuff, give me some time and a couple trips to Columbia and here and there and some chatter around, we can find more money for it. And we'll keep doing that. If I can find money to replace these matches and other things, we'll reuse this money in a different way. Oh, the fun slide of the day, hospitality tax. It used to have so many lovely things in the highlights, and now there's just nothing to highlight. But I would say, from an appreciative standpoint, that's good. We're growing. We had a lot of money in the bank that was sitting there not doing anything. Now that money is actually out there. Herb can practice on Yusuf Fields today because we used that money. Downtown is a little bit better for having spent that money. I think we've got real value out of it, despite what that most recent Tell Willie accused us all of doing.
What did I miss? What did you miss?
It said that Mayor Ramey and his minions misused cash in the bank, I think is how.
We're all a lot taller than minions are.
Even me. Even me.
But my view is we used that money very responsibly.
Yeah.
And I think we used it at the right time. We built those dugouts. Herb's got a new field right now.
It's beautiful.
And you know, he was near tears when we dedicated that place because he hadn't had anything new like that in forever. I can't imagine how happy he is today with the boat y'all took.
Near tears. Seriously. I had a question about something sort of a statement. The new signs downtown, the signage looks great.
No. Reagan did that.
Those are beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And that was paid for with the grant from the county.
There's a lot more to go up.
Yeah, we're waiting on some DOT to give us some go-aheads with some other ones, but we'll have a couple other ones just outside of downtown, the roads that we don't know, and they'll go up soon as well.
And then as soon as we get that done, Reagan will be applying the next round of funding for ATAX from the county.
I do have a question about the one that's coming on to North Street, though. Can it be moved out of the range of vision a little bit?
They took it.
It's been gone for 2 days.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I haven't been there for 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm working with DOT for a location.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that.
You go whenever you need to.
Okay.
So, Kevin, we took it down.
The only reason I saw it is it was in my line of vision and I was trying to turn right and come home. I missed them except for that. So, it served its purpose.
So, Kevin, we don't have any hospitality grants at all. No money to give out whatsoever.
No, I have a slide for you at the end.
Okay. All right.
But the answer is the same. No.
No.
Have you talked to any of the people?
I sent them the email that I sent to you. We heard back from one, and it was B.J. Callahan from the Music Center. And his email to Kylie was more along the lines of, gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. I really need that money.
Yeah.
Didn't hear. Nobody else contacted her or me after I sent that out. Accommodations tax, seeing some growth there, and I think once the tanneries get Magnolia Manor back up and operate full scale, this time next year, I'm very interested to see what these numbers would be, because I think they're going to be very successful.
Pretty sure they're already booked out on weddings.
Okay. Well, I noticed they're still working on that house across the street.
They are.
Their satellite place. Visit Oconee Chamber of Commerce, I dropped both of those from 5,000 to 2,500. I have not had the conversation with either of those groups yet. And I did that mainly so we could honor the commitment that we have to the History Museum of, and even though you see 4,000 here, my plan would be to still give them, what did we do, Rebecca?
4,000
in utility offsets? So you gave them some cash and you gave them a utility offset, and they are kind of hitting their marks. They'll have enough money to last to the end of the year. Just so you know, you allocated it for this year, so I'm not going to carry that forward into next year. We would start it over at the beginning. And then I was able to squeeze out $3,500 to go to rec. So I went back. Originally, I was holding $20,000 aside to be able to say, here's $20,000 for you to give in grants. That really has to come out of the general fund or hospitality tax fund. Well, if you take it out of hospitality tax, it's the same thing as taking out of general or youth rec. Certainly, we didn't want to take it out of youth rec, so it comes to hospitality and general fund. So after I took it out so I could balance the budget, I went back and looked for places, where do we have big amounts of money that we could choose? And these are it. If we don't fund public safety vehicles, the vehicles are covered with lease purchase, you could save $23,000 that we have budgeted for the upfits. Or if you don't budget the gym roof repair, you have $42,000. And I know that it seems like, I feel like I'm stacking the deck to try and get you to say no. But you now have the line item budgets. You can go through and see the same thing I see. There is no place in general fund, youth rec, or hospitality tax where you can just pluck $20,000 out and say, let's move that over here and give those grants. I went back through. You will see it. If you see something, I'm open. I mean, I'm here to do what you want. This is, I always like to say, this is your budget. This is what you want to do. It's just not there with what we need. Unless you tell me to go back and make it there. If you did, I'm going to go through and nickel and dime, and I've already nickeled and dimed everybody. I'm going to take $1,000 here, $1,000 here, $500 here, $250 there, until I get to $20,000. And that would take out all the operational increases and not a lot in the general fund.
We got how many public safety vehicles total? Two cars and the truck?
Yes.
Two cars and one truck. And we need two police cars.
We need two. Because the last two Chargers crapped out on us, but we got two or three crappy old Tahoes.
But, and there, why do we need Tahoes for the police cars? I mean, they've got to be more expensive than a...
They are more expensive than, you know, last year we bought a Charger that John Burke has been using. I've just relied on the preference of the chief. Back in one of the places that I worked for, we did... Dale can certainly answer this if he'd like. We did a study, and the reason we started buying the higher profile vehicles is because if the officer's got to get out in a hurry, they can hit the ground without coming up their knees. So getting out of that truck, they're coming down and they can go versus having to stand up. Other than that, maybe we don't. But if I decrease the amount for the vehicles, I still need the same amount to upfit.
Yeah.
So if I changed it from, I think the vehicle that's programmed in there is a Dodge Durango. If we were to take that down to a Charger, I still need this amount to upfit.
Right.
You still got to have lights. You still got to have all the police stuff in it, regardless of what vehicle it is. So to answer your question, Mayor, we could go down on that. Cut the amount of money and say you got to find a different vehicle, and they could, but that doesn't save you anything here.
Yeah.
And then when we get here, and Audrey, I hope you'll know, it does say you may go hometown if you have nothing left here.
I just really hate not giving anything to the Apple and Bigfoot Festival. I know they're going to be.
Well, here's a couple of things, and these are no guarantees, but some ideas. 2 years ago, SCPRT put out a grant that cities could apply for to promote festivals and community events. And it was just for marketing, and we could have gotten $20,000, I think, with the 10% match. I have Adrian on the lookout to see if they put it out. When they did it 2 years ago, it came out in April. We haven't seen it yet. Could come out in May. Santee Cooper last year said they would like to sponsor a staged event. So think concert type thing. Mm-hmm. They mentioned specifically Bigfoot and Apple Festival. They didn't tell me how much. Now they paid for one of the Jazz on Alley. They paid for one of the bands and they had their whole banner behind it. I don't know if they paid $2,500, $10,000, somewhere in that range. They want to do one of our events. So once we get a little bit further down, I can call and say, hey, we got an event. It could be the music at Bigfoot. It could be something at Apple. They want one of those two. Mm. She told me that. She didn't want to do something that was smaller because they want the bragging rights to
it. Right.
There is the $1,000 for sponsorships at PMPA. Not a lot of money, but I could call that in for anything that you've given money for, and there's $1,000 that can go to something. It's just got to say it was sponsored in part by PMPA.
Yeah.
So we've got a number of things like that that we can go and help mine out of the universe to give. And I guess in my mind, I'm thinking of the two big ones, Bigfoot and Apple Festival. Primarily because when I talk to Santee Cooper, they're like, we want a festival. I like BJ Callahan stuff, but it's so small, mm-hmm. they're not going to see the return for their marketing dollar.
Right.
There's not a whole lot I can say. I really like the Farm Center. I really like Melody Davis. What's the other smaller one that we have? I like all of those events. But those get more challenging to find money for.
The fair.
Well, I was thinking
the rodeo.
And yeah, the rodeo. We're, yeah.
So they're okay. The fair slash Farm Center understands it is okay.
Apple Festival folks have been real receptive. At least the one that I've been communicating with understands that there are cuts and really just wanted a timeline answer.
That's way big for us.
We charge BJ for the stage.
No, we don't charge for the stage. We don't charge for any trash, public safety, which back when we had special events committee, they're like, you need to start charging for all that. And we never put that in policy, but it's not in place right now. Mm-hmm. So that's an expense they don't have that we still have. So Apple, Bigfoot, Music on Main, they are still getting a benefit right. from us because we don't charge them for what
right.
we do.
Mm-hmm. So that is, yeah.
There's overtime that we have.
There's a ton of overtime.
Yeah, the stage. Kevin Harden loves that stage.
Business licenses as well.
Business license, yeah. So there's a lot of things they still get a benefit from. I get that they don't get the infusion of cash to help them get everything moving. But whatever we get from Santee, hope that money will still be there. I know the lady I talked to wants to help sponsor. Then if we can find these marketing grants to help communities market their festivals and stuff, we can get in on those.
Well, the Apple Festival, they get hospitality tax money or pay tax money from the county.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
going to happen there. Will Bigfoot get anything from the county?
I'll have to talk to them. I know they have in the past once.
Yeah, and remember, we made our application last year the same exact form that the county's application is. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah. easy if you apply for the county, you could apply for the city, but that made it easy if you applied for the city to go apply for the county. You essentially are using the same exact information.
Yeah. I hate cutting them off cold turkey, but I mean, there again, unless the county's willing to start helping us with recreation like they need to, it's going to be like this.
Well, I mean, think about it. I don't know the size of the county budget, but if they took their contribution to youth rec up from 50 to 75, there's $25,000 you can take right off the top.
Yeah, but if they upped it to 250, then it'd be fair. Yeah. Right now, it's not even fair. It's just an expense. All right, thank you. I know y'all worked hard on it.
I love
Thanks,
seeing
Kevin.
The expenses
and friends
balanced. And I love that part.
Me too.
We work through it. Have questions. Nobody had any questions or.
Is there anything you want me to change?
Yeah. Add about $40 million in there.
Yeah.
In the revenue side.
I read through all.
So the bottom line will change when I add the 9,000 in that I left off for the fire marshal vehicle. So
yes,
underfunded it by 9.
I thought it was in.
So it'll add in when you get the. So when you see that in your ordinance and say this isn't the same number, you'll get
it. Well, just keep in mind if you see it any time that we will be able to cover something for these. Events. I mean, we need to try it if something shows up.
Like Charles Morgan came to me and he said, you know, I've been reading the paper, what y'all been discussing. He said, there are some businesses that would love to give some money. I said, that's great. Go to them. You know, it doesn't go through us. So go to Applebee's or go to Bigfoot and say, we'd love to give you something. But I just know sponsorships are a really good thing to do. I do a lot of those with First Steps. $1,000 here, $1,500 here, $2,000 here. And that's mainly because people ask for it. Mm-hmm. So ask for it.
Cooper's Mills also looking for ways to find it.
Okay.
I mean, I know we both talked to them separately, but they're Cooper's Mill, the Ryan Homes.
Yes, yeah.
They're looking to sponsor events and things in town as well. So that's another
that
aspect.
Would help some of
them. They're out there in the Bigfoot area.
They are, and that would help.
Be good
normally,
good
Bigfoot
sponsor.
Territory.
Yeah, he may be wandering around over there.
He gets around, I can tell you that.
All right, we'll need a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Rebecca.